Good. Let us pray. Father God, what a privilege it is to call you Father. What a privilege it is to come before your throne. What a privilege to come before the throne of the God who reigns over everything. And today we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit on each person here. Lord, on each person, you know our hearts, you know our needs, you know the blocks that Satan has put in our lives that need to be smashed. You know us far better than we know ourselves. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to open up the doors so that we can draw close to you. Lord, I know that Satan wants to smash this message. I know that. But you are God. Sorry about that. Okay. Right, we're in the end of Daniel 11, okay? Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. The Antichrist is a tyrant, a ruler. He's also called the beast, the man of sin, the man of perdition. Gog may also refer to the Antichrist. Daniel is told the vision is for the latter days. Told that in chapter 10, we saw that. Antiochus Epiphanes was a type of Antichrist, but one is yet to come. The one to come, probably in our time, is to be much worse. In Matthew 24, we are reminded that Daniel was speaking of a time to come. Jesus says this, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." So Jesus was saying, Daniel is talking about now, our time. And this person will expect to be worshipped, while Antiochus Epiphanes set up a statue of Zeus in the temple. Can you imagine that? You come to church and there is this idol there in the church. The coming Antichrist will demand people worship him. In our world today, we have rulers of Russia, China, North Korea, Turkey, who are like this, who expect to be worshipped. Paul writes, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So believers will see the falling away of the church and the man of sin revealed before the rapture. People, the falling away of the church is catastrophic. And we need to be wary that we are not part of it. His violence will bind many people and do much damage, but he'll be restricted in time. He is called the son of perdition because he will cause many people to be lost in hell for eternity. We already have a terrible disregard for God in our community. The name Jesus Christ is used as a swear word. It is not hard to see that this man exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. We're already there. So how do we teach and encourage others to stand against this? We first look at our own hearts, people. Our own hearts. What has captured our soul? What are the priorities for our own lives? What are the priorities for your time, your money, your pride. Deception comes with blindness. Jesus says clearly, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot. With all the education, with all the brightness, with all the prestige, with all the time and money and all of that, he cannot see the kingdom of God. People have to get to the stage where they declare Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life before they can see it. There has to be a surrender. Not an understanding about Christianity, but knowing God. Huge difference, isn't it? There are people who know about you, and then there are people who know you. Big difference. Wisdom is relational. It is far more than knowledge. Job says, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. It starts there, in relationship. So in Daniel 11, we have, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard of any God, for he shall exalt himself above all. This is ultimate pride. He is the son of Satan himself. The God of his fathers may imply that he is a Jew. The desire of women may imply that he is homosexual. Alternatively, the desire of women may be Jesus. Haggai 2:7 refers to Jesus as the desire of all nations. Jesus was the perfect man, and many women saw this and appreciated his love. So in Luke 22 you have the especially mentioned women who also mourned and lamented him. Now, pride is the ultimate blocker for a person to come to God in repentance. The first step in salvation is to admit that there is a God. Ditch evolution. The second step is to admit that you're a sinner. And to admit you're a sinner requires humility. Third step is to know that Jesus Christ died for you, the Son of God. And the fourth step, you have to still make him the Lord of your life and say, no, you are the Lord. A person must confess his sin to begin the process of salvation. The whole abortion, LGBTQ movements, idolatry in sport, blasphemy, entertainment, especially humour, are built on pride. You know, the protesters at the Rally for Life were screaming out, my body, my rights. When we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we give him authority over our whole life, body, soul and spirit. Say, my body, my soul, my spirit are yours. That's what it is. That fourth step. You are the Lord of my life. What you say, I do. So much of the world does not know the difference between God and slave. They say, okay, I'll pray for this. Ah, he didn't do it. Ha! He doesn't exist. People, huge difference between God and slaves, isn't it? God doesn't have to obey my orders. I have to obey his orders. That's it. Daniel 11, but in their place he shall honour a God of fortresses, and a God which his fathers did not know he shall honour with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign God, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cease them to rule over many. Sorry, he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. This tyrant will display his power in military might. People look for financial gain and are willing to follow a ruler who rewards them with prosperity. Sadly, we've come to that in Australia. So none of our election promises were aimed at returning the people to worshipping the only true God. None of them. Repeatedly in 2 Kings, we read of good kings who still did not remove the high places until 2 Kings when Hezekiah comes along. Why not? Why didn't he remove the high places? Because it was politically incorrect. We might offend the culture. We might offend the people. And then we read about Hezekiah. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars. Wow! These are things that the culture honoured. Cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it. He trusted in the God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. Now people, to do that, you have the ups and downs in life. You have catastrophes going on. You're saying to God, why did this happen? Whatever. But he held fast to the Lord. Our faith isn't something that wavers with emotion or with whatever, the temperature of the day. Our faith means we stand strong. Jesus says we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Right? The rock. We don't go up and down. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments. 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 That's an order. He kept them. Not my will, but yours. What do you want? That amazing verse, isn't it? That amazing verse when Jesus is dying on the cross. Well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the cross. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will but thine. That is so special. That verse needs to be in gold in our Bible, because so often we pray, my will, my will, and because you're not doing my will, you aren't God. No. This is the Son of God who sees what's coming to him and he says, no, not my will but yours. And he practices what he preaches, because back there when he taught his disciples to pray, he prayed, thy kingdom come. This is how you pray, thy will be done. And in the crunch of the teacher, he has to do what he taught. Hardest thing about preaching, the hardest thing about teaching is that I have had to learn what I teach, and I have to try and put it into practice. That is so hard. Because when it comes out as words, but when it comes to me, it comes out as an etching on my heart. I think, gosh, that's it. He held fast to the Lord. He kept his commandments that the Lord had commanded him. The Lord was with him and he prospered wherever he went. When Jesus comes to reign, things will be very, very different. And so, the northern king, conquest, at the time of the end of the king of the south, possibly Egypt, shall attack him, and the king of the north, possibly Russia, shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand. Edom, Moab, and the prominent peoples of Ammon. That's Jordan, north, south, and centre, all of those three. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. You know, we read in Revelation 9, at the sixth trumpet, four angels are released at the great river Euphrates. An army of 200 million comes. This is what the scripture teaches. 200 million. At the time of writing of that would have been inconceivable. 200 million in the army, and there it is. And a third of mankind is killed, and those who survived did not repent. Now the bombs are described there as smoke, fire and smoke and brimstone, Revelation 9. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which comes out of their mouths. This is a war that was out of their imagination, but the writer, John, writes it. And we read in Zechariah, something which is out of their imagination again. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet, their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. This is out of their imagination. Their warfare was sword and spear and stabbing and everything, but this is the warfare we know about. Then in Revelation 16:12, at the sixth bowl of wrath, we're told that the army comes across the Euphrates, and it's the kings of the east. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. You know, in the time of the writing of this, 2,000 years ago, China was unheard of. The passage, again, suggests the Antichrist is in the Middle East. Nations north and south and east will attack. This is the Battle of Armageddon. And the end will come and no one will help him. So there will be a huge battle in or near Israel. There will not be any believers present at this time. At the fourth bowl in Revelation 16:9, when the people are scorched with great heat, there is no repentance. And men were scorched with great heat and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues and did not repent and give him glory. That's proof that there's not one believer there if they did not repent. Because one of the things, one of the characteristics of being a believer is you repent. People, I've given you homework to do every night. Every night there's four things. One, before you shut your eyes, you thank God for something. So precious, because you scan the day and you think, what happened today that I saw your hand? And you see the hand of God in the smallest things. Two, you confess, because otherwise you're unaware that you do things that are wrong. How will you fix it if you don't know it's wrong? Three, you ask God for something you can do for him tomorrow. You set your heart on, I will do something for you tomorrow. I want to find something to do for you tomorrow. And four, you ask him to do something for you. Yep, it is so good. Yes, repentance is important. And the men were scorched with great heat and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over the plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Now, the Battle of Armageddon is only mentioned once by name in Revelation 16:16. It comes at the end of the bowls of wrath, so it's at the end of time, at the time of the sixth and the seventh bowls of wrath in this final battle. Jesus will come with the armies of heaven and bring complete destruction for those who have rejected the gospel. Revelation 16:14 tells us that the whole world will be in this battle. Revelation 16:12 then. Whoops, have I skipped one, I think? But no. There we go. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. What are the garments? The garments are the garments of righteousness. And they gathered them together in the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Well, we have to get ready. You have to get ready. The bride has got herself ready for the wedding. Why are you given weddings? So, why are you given daughters? So you can see the huge fuss that the girls, the bridegroom just has to get a suit. Okay, we can do that in an hour. Easy, just go off. Yep, got it all organised. The bride take days, weeks to get ready for the wedding. I want this type of flower, not that type of flower. I want that type of flower. I mean, the mind just boggles. It just goes out. It's out of the male brain, really, completely. And it's given to us to understand the bride has got herself ready. Because when the bridegroom comes, when Jesus comes, we need to be ready. Ready with impeccable detail. Ready. That's why you have to practice thankfulness. That's why you... Because gratitude, when you thank God, it really kills being grumpy about what you haven't got. It kills covetousness, that last 10th commandment that no one even looks at. Because when you're grateful, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for what you've given me. Yes, the bride has to get ready. In Ezekiel 38, we see the attack on Israel by nations. At the end of the chapter, we read the judgment which Revelation repeats. So there we have the mountains. Back one, there we go. Well, in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. So the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, of all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall also be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Revelation, we see it again. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who had worshipped his image. 18:14, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. You know, we're given this account of the wrath of God, even though believers will not be present, to get us to appreciate the terror and the urgency of our world. There are prodigals and neighbours and strangers that God has deliberately put you next to, who desperately need to hear the gospel. Do not give up with discouragement. Even when the Son of God came, people, including one of his own disciples, did not believe. Don't give up. The Western Church has sadly avoided any mention of the judgment and the terror of God. It prefers the happy, clappy gospel. But Paul tells us, for we must. Lord, I'm feeling a little bit sick today. Do I have to come before the judgment trial? Yes, you do. Lord, I don't want it. Too bad. We must all. Surely I'd be excused. No. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But he mightn't be writing to Christians. No, he is. 2 Corinthians. He's writing to the Christians. He's writing to the ordinary people. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. Do not avoid knowing the fear and the terror of God. Paul says it. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. You get to know a person, you get to know all about them, don't you? When you get to know, your closest friend knows far more about you than other people outside, because bits and pieces you don't share. When we get to know God, we get to know God. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are you going to skip it? Or are you going to get to know God? When you come before your father, you get to know your dad. Just as our hope is solid to spend eternity with our father, so too eternity in hell is a horrific certainty. If living in peaceful Perth instills in us a spirit of complacency, what's worse? That we lose the comfort and prosperity, or that people we know spend eternity in hell. I send you Barnabas Fund email, which detailed Christians being killed and even skinned for their faith. Christians are being killed just for possessing a Bible. If you have not subscribed to emails from Barnabas Fund, Open Doors, ACL, Australian Christians, Culture Watch, Family Voice, you need to do so. Cauldron Pool's another one. I'll email that one to you. I strongly encourage you to do that. Get the feedback. We need to pray and support fellow believers. When we read about this last battle in Ezekiel 38:39, we see that it precedes the millennial reign of Christ. God tells Gog, the Antichrist, that the prophets were talking about him. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he whom I have spoken in former days by my servants and prophet of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? He comes from the north. Moscow is directly north of Jerusalem, Russia. He attacks Israel. We know that in the final battle, this is the final battle. Whoopsie. Back on. Because this is the day of the Lord, and I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people, and I will not let them profane my name, my holy name, anymore. Then the nation shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One is in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Wow. The enemy is annihilated and the name of God will no longer be profaned. It's a terrible thing that we allow the name of Jesus to be used as a profanity in our world. In the end, that will stop forever. The nations and the church will no longer be able to ignore the judgment of God. All of Israel will know. I will set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment which I have executed and my hand which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day forward. On this day, when the enemies of God and Israel are destroyed, there will be huge repentance among the Jews. Zechariah reads, it shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, that they will look on me whom they pierced. This is the Jews. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his holy son, for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. What an amazing day when the Spirit of God is poured out on Israel. So what's the message for us? We're warned for what is to come, so we have knowledge, but what is in our heart is what counts. You know, in Mark 12:30, we're told to love God firstly with all our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Okay? Firstly with all your heart. We have many distractions in our life. Sickness, finance, family, worries, temptations, hobbies, wars. And some of the times these things take a priority in our hearts and in our minds. We need to train our heart now to seek the company of God. That's why that homework is so important. God, what can I do for you tomorrow? That's heart, people. That's heart. That's the basis, the foundation of marriage. I'm so grateful for the one that you've given me. If there's anything that needs to be fixed in my life, I want to fix it. What can I do for her tomorrow? So good. We need to train our hearts now. As things get worse, we need the discernment and the courage to stand for God. What's your target in life? Your reason to live? Your goal? Now, I want to close with something which is kind of related. When I was preparing this message, I just was thanking God for my time here. Because God has taught me so much. And one of the things that I want to put before you, well, before some of you, I don't know, is music. Because this next one, next thing that's happening, is I want to sing you a song. It's a song I wrote 20 years ago. It was after the Sydney Olympics when one of the Olympians was asked, did you have to give up your dream to become an Olympian? And she said, no, because my dream is to become an Olympian. And I want to challenge you to write songs. You know, 1 Chronicles 25 is all about musicians. Music is an amazing thing. And we sing worship songs. And in heaven we will sing. And I've punished you a few times by making you sing my songs. But it's something which I think you need to take up. So some of you, just write it. Get something there. Those of you who are musicians, learn, how do I say this? Learn to capture what happens with notes. Like, that's a key of G, okay? But if a song then comes into this, you already know that you're coming into a kind of climax, an emphatic thing in the song. And if you can do that, if you can express yourself any way you can, sometimes we express ourselves because we just love some things other people have written. But I just challenge you to think about writing something yourself and seeing how you go with all of that. So this song, My Dream, I don't have to give up my dreams. I think I sang it once many, 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 many moons ago. To walk with Jesus today, because my dream is to stand in the presence of God and to hear my Father say, well done, my faithful son. Well done, my brave young man. You've made yourself ready as a bride for your son. Come rise as an eagle and soar. That's my dream. That's my dream. I want that. And I don't have to give up my dreams. That's my dream. Whatever it is, that's it. So, here's the song. It's over 20 years old. The guitar's over 50 years old. The guitar was named Michelle before Michelle was born. I don't know why. I never actually knew a Michelle, but I really liked the name. And then many years later, I met Michelle. In a class. No, actually a church first. I don't have to give up my dream to walk with Jesus today. But my dream stand in the presence of God and hear my Father say, well done, my faithful son. Well done, my brave young man. light of God in all we do and say. To know the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of this love of God for me. In the presence of God and to hear my Father say, well done, my faithful son. I hope that'll be your dream. Father God, I want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are a rock. You are the rock we stand on in this world which is shaky with all types of things going wrong. You're a rock. And I pray for these people here. I pray for all the batterings of the world where all the ambitions of the world are put before us. But this one thing stands. That we will one day, we must all appear before the judgment seat of God. Yeah, to receive whatever was done, good and bad. Thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and that our bad is wiped out. And our dream is to stand in the presence of God and to hear you say, well done. That would be just amazing. So I ask for this week, for these people here, for your blessing. Your blessing on them, your courage and alertness to speak out the word to the prodigal, the word to the stranger, the word to the neighbour, the word to whoever, and to live out your word, because you are a great and mighty God, and your gospel has to go out. Would you help us, please, in that? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, people.